Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for your word, which continues to give life and help us and guide us throughout our path. And so help us to understand your word, to take it in, to digest it, and to use it so it can be useful. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In case you haven't noticed, I had a haircut. So I was in the barber chair, and the stylist, you know, was doing my hair, and there's this woman next to me sitting right next, and then this other stylist doing her hair. And they were kind of talking really loud, and I'm trying not to listen to them, right? So one of them said to the other, yeah, I'm ready to date now. And the other said, yeah, me too. And of course, you know, when I have my hair cut, they take off my eyeglasses, right? So I can't see them. I can't even look in the mirror. So it's better. Otherwise, I would start laughing or, you know, making. So one of them says, well, I'm thinking of doing this speed dating thing. And they start going back and forth about talking about speed dating, right? And then the one said, well, I'm going to lay out all my cards on the table, and I'm just going to tell them. I'm going to say, I'm a single mom, and I'm 32 years old. And the other one said, and if I don't like the person, I'm going to tell them no right away. She said, I wonder if you get to look at their pictures before you actually go to the speed dating, right? So finally, the one stylist next to talks to my stylist and says, hey, Arcelie, don't you think it'd be fun to try speed dating? And my stylist says, no. She said, I would be nervous. And what if you're the person they say no to? And then they said, oh, you're not supposed to take it personal. Don't take it personal. So I just sat there pretending like I wasn't hearing anything. But I was kind of shaking because it was kind of laughing, you know? Well, my stylist, I was cracking up was because, like, maybe 3 years ago, I would have been in that situation, and I might have joined their conversation. But it was related. I thought of the scripture this morning where it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Now, of course, Jesus, when he was talking about this, he meant prayer. Ask and seek and knock. Ask God for something. Sometimes we think this passage has to do with we're asking something financial or we're asking something material, but it could be related to asking God about our relationships or our significant others or a soulmate. In fact, our prayers should be including asking and seeking and knocking and praying for our relationships. It may not be with dating, but it may have to do with reconciling, or it may have to do with reuniting with a family member. The kingdom of God, which Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5 and the next several chapters, are about family and friends and our relationship with God. The message about the kingdom of God is about our relationships, about keeping relationships or establishing them or improving on them. It's about the kingdom of God has to do with healing or being reconciled or bringing even closure to relationship when the time is right. This past week, Marlou was away, so I decided to go to the movies by myself. And I saw the movie Philomena. How many of you have seen the movie Philomena? Not too many of you. Well, it was nominated for 4 Oscars, and it starred Judi Dench. And when I got in there, the movie, it was full of seniors in the movie theater. I felt like, wow, this is just like church. I felt right at home. I said, well, we should have a church service here, so. If you don't want to hear what the movie is about, or you don't know, want to know the ending, then you have permission to tune out. Okay, so let me tell you the story. Philomena lived in Ireland, and she got pregnant as a teenager. And so what they did in Ireland when you got pregnant as a teenager, some parents would send their daughters to the nuns, this abbey in Ireland. And so what they did was Philomena gave birth there in the abbey, and then they quarantined the kids from the moms. And so the moms were, you know, working in the abbey with the nuns, and they would let the child be together, and they would take care of the child, and they would let the mom see the child once in a while. She thought about him every day, and she had prayed every day, because what they did was they set up this adoption for those from America. So those who could afford to adopt these kids would fly over there and raise these kids. And so Philomena's, and this is based on a true story, actually. So Philomena's child was taken away. And so for 50 years, or a little bit less than 50 years, she was praying and seeking to be reunited with him, because she was now old and had not had contact and couldn't find him. So here's a spoiler alert, if you don't want to know the story, plug your ears now. During Ronald Reagan's term, Michael Hess joined the Republican National Committee as a staff lawyer. And then he worked his way up to be the deputy chief counsel and then to the chief counsel. He was quite successful and he was in the limelight a lot, but what had happened was that he was gay and he died of AIDS. And so his mother didn't know that. So before his death, he was trying to find his mother. And he had returned to the abbey, and the nuns withheld information from him, saying that, no, your mom doesn't care about you. She abandoned you. And so he died not knowing. And then the nuns also withheld information from Philomena in the same way. She went there trying to find information about her son, and they said, no, the record's all burned up in some fire. And so enter into the picture this British journalist named Martin Sixsmith. He had just been fired from the BBC, which is, I guess, England's major news network. And so Philomena enlists his help as a journalist. Martin News's news agency had hired him to write stories. And so they said, find a story. And so Philomena just happened to run into him and said, oh, I heard that you're trying to write novels and want to write a story about my son. And so Philomena was this devout Catholic, and she never lost her faith. But the journalist, Martin, was a former altar boy, and he became an atheist and an agnostic. So he was talking to all his contacts and going on the internet and trying to search, and found out that he was in the United States. So they flew to Washington, D.C., and they paid for all the expenses. And through all the people that he knew, apparently he had gone to Washington, D.C. before and had some contacts there. And so they looked in the internet and made connections, and they finally found out that Michael had a partner. But then before that, she found out that he died. And so she wanted to give up and said, well, let's just go back. There's no sense in staying here. But somehow the news agency said, no, you started on the story, finish it. So she was kind of eventually came around and said, well, I need to find more information. I need to bring closure, an end to this part of my life. And somehow, through all this activity, God used this journalist, who was an atheist, God used the news agency, God used the internet, God used all these encounters for her to finally get some answers to what she was looking for. And it took 50 years, or not quite 50, but almost 50 years, as she kept asking, she kept knocking, she kept searching for her son. But she was also afraid. She said, well, what if he turned out to be a bad person? What if he's homeless? What if he's in prison? And she had all her fears about what if? What if he would reject her? Or what if he didn't really care about her, never thought about her? What she was afraid of was that he would reject her. What she was also afraid of was that maybe he would say no. And so the suspense was building. So they finally get to meet, they find out who his ex-partner was, and so they call him, and he wouldn't return the calls. And finally, they had to stake him out at his house, and so the journalist knocked at the door, and he opened the door, and the journalist said who he was, and the ex-partner just closed the door in his face. He was about to give up when she decided, I'm going to knock on that door. And she knocks on the door, and he lets them in. In the movie, then, the journalist says this. He says, we shall not cease from our exploration, and the end of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Everything came full circle. But what really paid off for Philomena was her persistence, the persistence over 50 years. She kept asking, she kept searching, she kept knocking at the door in order to find the truth and find her son. But she didn't find him alive, and Michael, her son, never found his mother. So in a way, you could say that the answer was a no. But what she did find was forgiveness, peace of mind, and closure, and the completion to the relationship with her son. She found some answers. Now, why was she able to find peace and resolution while her son was denied that and died before he found the truth? It's hard to speculate and hard to answer that question. Maybe it was her prayers, her constant praying and faithfulness. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, we don't know. But what matters was he kept trying. He went there 3 times, and he was knocking and seeking, but the nuns denied him. What she did see was that his ex-partner showed her video footage of him being successful, being a public servant, and turning out to be a good person. The scripture says, if anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask? And the phrase that sticks with me is, how much more will God in heaven give good things to those who ask? The answer that God gives may not be the exact answer that we want, maybe a no, but the promise of the scripture says, but God will give good things to those who ask. And how much more will God give if we keep on asking, if we keep on seeking, if we keep on knocking? 5 years ago, I was with the youth group of our church, and one activity we did was we decided to write down some hopes that we have. And we wrote it on a piece of paper, and then we put it in a time capsule, and we buried it on the church grounds and by next to this one tree, and we said, well, we'll just dig it up 5 years later and find out what we wrote. Well, about 2 years ago, they dug it up, and they handed me what I wrote. And one of the things I wrote was, I hope that I will be in a relationship. Well, now I'm married. I should have said to those hairstylists, you know what? Go for it. Ask for it. Pray for it. Keep seeking. You never know. Keep asking God. You never know. But don't give up. God may answer your questions in different ways than you expect or want or hope. But the promise is that God will give good things, but you have to ask and you have to seek and you have to knock. So keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. It might not have to do with dating. It might have to do with some other family relationship or some other difficulty with some other relationship. But keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, and God will give you good things. It may not be the answer you want, but don't give up. Don't give up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.